You know, today we call Christ the King Sunday. And it's somewhat anachronistic because how many of you know kings? You know any kings? Well, you certainly do through history, right? Who do you know from history? Just throw out a name. King George, yes, the very one that caused us a lot of ruckus back in the 1700s, and we decided we had enough, and we became independent and became our own country. Who else? King Edward? Henry VIII, yes, which means there were a few other Henrys before him. Anybody else? King Ludwig. Okay. How about kings from today? Anybody know who King Gustav is? Sweden, yeah, yeah. A King Vladimir? Possibly. Any others that you can think of? Okay, you're thinking in a political sense. What about some other kings? King who? That's it. King Cuba? Okay, what's that from, Jason? Okay. From Mario Brothers. Other kings. How about old King Cole? Right? Yeah, he did have a merry old soul, didn't he? Anybody else? How about
Elvis?
Yes, I was waiting for somebody to say that. Yes, he was known as the king. And then a little bit later on, this person became the king of pop. Oh, see, you know kings. Any of you play chess? What's the purpose of the game of chess? Checkmate, to capture the king, right? And if you play checkers and your piece goes all the way to the end of the board, you say, and what can that piece do after that? It can move in any direction, right? You got a lot of power when you've got a king on the checkerboard. Okay, so you know some kings. Some we laugh about, some were probably not the greatest leaders in the world, and some were known as fairly benevolent leaders. But you can imagine the confusion of what goes on today when we say Christ is king. Because it's not a title that we use a lot, and when we say king, what kinds of things come to mind when you think of king? All-powerful, can do whatever he wants. And I'm only using the masculine form. I could have just asked for queens as well. Figureheads. Yeah, today most of the kings and queens we know are figureheads. They have no real power. They seem to have a lot of money to use, though, which is nice. But, you know, the kings of ancient history, we didn't even talk about David or Solomon or all the kings that would follow and would become kings, leaders of Judah and Israel. Some kings were good and some kings were not so good. You can understand then why Pilate is a bit confused as he's speaking to Jesus. This comes from an entire chapter in the book of John. We're only getting a little snippet of this, where Jesus has been brought before Pilate as the Jews want to condemn him and have him executed. And for most Jews, they don't even understand why they want that. It's just that they've been, you know, kind of riled up to declare that they want him crucified. But the leaders of the church saw him as a threat to the balance of power that was being held between Israel and their occupiers, Rome. They had certain privileges that they were allowed as long as they stayed within Rome's understanding of how much you can do. And when you have somebody that's starting to talk about, or there are others who are saying, here is the Messiah, the Jewish name for king, the authorities start to get a little worried. Not only that, did the Jewish authorities found Jesus to be a threat to themselves because he was doing things that weren't not quite what they understood the scriptures were saying that they should do. But that was their translation. They also used it to their advantage. So we have this occasion where Pilate now is confronting Jesus as he's been brought to him. And in that time that he speaks to Jesus, he goes out to the crowds. I think it's like seven times. He speaks to Jesus. He goes out to the crowds. The crowds get all worked up and say, crucify him. And he goes back to Jesus and he talks to him and then he goes back out. And the interesting thing here is that Pilate, who is not a king, but he is a governor representing the king, the Caesar of Rome, who is, you know, tells like it is. This is the way it's going to be. So Pilate had Jesus' life, or at least he believed he had his life in his hands. The interesting thing about this conversation is that Jesus, as in many, turns the conversation around to where he is the one who's actually leading it, and not Pilate. Pilate asks him, are you a king? Jesus says, do you say that of your own accord, or do you say that of the crowds, because of the crowds and what they told you? And Pilate, who is not known to be a very benevolent ruler, actually, if anything, he despised the Jews because they created so much havoc in his territory. He tried to find ways in which he could stick it to them. And certainly this was one of the ones where he could see that ultimately he would find no reason to crucify Jesus and began to ridicule the crowds, which only stirred them up further. The interesting thing is that Pilate had the belief that Jesus was harmless, but in reality, true Christendom is subversive to any governmental power. Today, we don't see that so much because, you know, the powers that be of our government have become somewhat Christianized, though not to the degree that we hear how Jesus speaks to us. And there would be those who would be appalled at churches that would speak out against the government for doing things that Jesus would find contrary to his teachings. So who is this Christ who is king? Do you also put him into kind of a certain niche in your understanding of what a king is? Or do you see who God has made him to be? When you introduce yourself, or when you talk about someone else, oftentimes you will qualify that to say, here is Daniel. Daniel is a grandfather. Or Daniel is married to his wife, Holly. Or Daniel is the father of Caleb. You see how we do that? You might say, to qualify that your pastor or pastors, or who they are, you could say, well, this is Pastor Dave, he's a winemaker. Which may lead some people to believe that Pastor Dave likes to drink. You begin to make assumptions. Or here's Pastor Marcy, who talks about her grandkids. Therefore, Pastor Marcy is a grandmother. And there are those who may say, Pastor Marcy is a grandmother, but don't see all the other qualifications that she has. We do that all the time. We put people in niches. And so can you understand how Pilate was trying to do the same thing? Because his only concern was, is Jesus saying he's a king or isn't he? Because if he is, we know what's going to happen to him. There is no tolerance for kings in the time of Rome. But if he isn't, then he should be set free. Next year, as we engage, and as you are already involved, some of you are already getting yourself immersed into the whole Family Promise ministry, the way we put things into niches and we talk about the homeless, we talk about homelessness, and we talk about how Family Promise provides for places for the homeless to stay. It is a network of congregations that have made an agreement to, for three or four times a year, be a place of protection, a place where people can call home for a week at a time. But Family Promise also provides for counseling, for mental illness, or for well-being. They provide counseling for money management. They provide assistance with helping people to find places to where they can live. They help them to find a place to find meaningful employment. But do you know that when a person finds those things, that when they are finally at a home that they can call their own, when there is success with that, Family Promise doesn't stop with their work with the individual. And people will say, well, why are you doing that? Because they're no longer homeless. And the response is that they're not treating a symptom. They're treating the person. And just because the person is no longer homeless doesn't take away from their personhood. And they still provide support and care. I believe that's the way our King views us. And we all struggle with our lives and our the dysfunction that goes on around us, and we all have our issues which we come before God and we lay them at the throne and we say, God, lift these things from us. And for some of us, maybe when we find that those things are taken away, we may become forgetful and we begin to go about our way as if, you know, nothing, or I took care of it myself and without any regard for what God has done for us. That's typical of people. Whereas perhaps maybe in reality, a king that we would understand would be very unhappy with our ungratefulness, would probably find ways to help us along to be appreciative of whatever kind action our king may have given us. But in the case of Jesus as king, we find ourselves before a benevolent ruler. In fact, did you hear what we prayed in the prayer of the day today when we talked about the gentle and kind rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus? This isn't what we are used to with kings. This isn't what we're used to with presidents or with dictators or any other form or person who is given the ability to lead over a group of individuals. Even David, who was called by God to serve, ultimately disappointed God because he did not feel that he had everything he needed, but went outside the bounds and sinned. Even Solomon in all his wisdom was not perfect either. Just as you and I come here each and every week and we hear once again God's loving story for us, we hear the promise of forgiveness when we come together for confession. We are reminded of that through the readings, and we are reminded of the judgment that stands there before us, as if any king would offer that as well when there is wrongdoing. But in this case, the judgment gives way to the gospel, to the love of God. And he does not preclude anyone from the table. All of you who are hungry, all of you who are in need, you are welcome to my table, and I will feed you, and I will make you whole. You are my children, and I call you as my own. No king has ever been so gracious and so without conditional love. No wonder Pilate was confused in what Jesus said. When he made reference to his kingdom, then Pilate says to him, so you are a king. And Jesus speaks of the fact that he says, that it isn't of this world. So how does Christ reign? He reigns within us. Even Pilate, who believes he has the power to give life and death, cannot dictate what happens to Jesus without God being present and determining what will happen next. Pilate does not have a clue. And sometimes there are pastors and there are bishops and there are lay people and there are entire groups of people who believe that they are the ones that have the control and the ability to do things, but it is not in their hands. For you and I are simply vessels that are meant to be filled with his generosity and compassion and love. And the only thing that we can do is that we can resist. But when those who encounter us find that love to be so ever present that changes their life, it is not because of Pastor Dave or Assisting Minister Daniel or of any of you, but it's because of the glorious and gentle rule of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is truly King over all. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.